So you're listening to the radio show L'autre monde, and we have the pleasure to talk tonight with Rage and Dante from the band Venom. Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to
Hello.
meet you.
We are here to talk about the new album Into Oblivion, a new one. And when I listened the album, I feel like the album is almost recorded live. Is it just a feeling for me, or did you really record
Well,
it, this album, live?
I suppose because we played together that much, live as when we're playing live gigs. But we do a lot of jamming together, and so a lot of these songs come from jams. When we're recording, we do things. When I put my drums down, myself and like Rage will be jamming away with me to get my parts down, and then we'll sort of build it up that way. But yeah, it's very much got a live feel to it. I know what you mean. I think the most important part is we didn't use a click track. Normally, we
Yeah.
sometimes use click tracks, but this time we didn't, which made it more exciting but a little bit more dangerous trying to record. So I
Yeah.
think it's you've got that sort of Dante hasn't been hemmed in and sort of controlled by a click track, which you know if anyone knows what a click track is, it's an annoying sound that goes tick tick tuck,
Like a
and
metronome, isn't it?
like a metronome, and with that it meant that we could speed the songs up, and that gives it a little bit more feeling, because just like a conversation that you have, you speed up, you slow it down when you try to get your points across, and that's what the songs are like. You know, the slow bits and the heavy bits, you know, the grinding bits, they're at a different sort of tempo than the fast bits. That's where you get the live feel from. But we always try to get that like excitement sort of thing. It would be no good having a brilliant drum track and then putting some very sterile guitars and bass and singing over it. So when me and Kronos do our little bits, you always try to play as if it's a concert.
It is. It's got that like live energy, hasn't it? When we play, that even when we record, and like we just said there, without the click track, you haven't got that safe. The safety net's gone. So listening back, you've got the songs not only sound more live, but they've got to be. They can't stray too much from the what the tempo should be. Because otherwise it just sounds crap. But no, I think we've really captured a live sort of essence with this record. About the live sensation that I have when I listen to the album, I found that the track Live Loud is the most live of the album. Is there something special on this one?
I think that was one of the last ones that we actually did. The riff's been, we've had the riff for quite a while, but we sort of didn't know what to do with it. And then we actually changed it. So what was, so the intro bit, that become sort of a bridge bit, and then the verse bit become the chorus, and we swapped it around a
Yeah,
bit. So
swapped them over, didn't we?
it was really, that was a really last minute thing, and I think that was one take on the drums. I think that's all we took for that one, and then the guitars and all that, they went, I think the whole song took about 2 hours to record. It was really, really, really simple. I mean, it's a very technical, it's actually one of the most technical riffs that we've got, because there's some like harmonics and stuff in, but I think it was because the drums were literally, it was like sat down and that was it was good enough. It was like we didn't need to change it, we didn't need to do anything, and it's got that sort of runaway train sort of feel. I think like sort of classic, some of the classic vibe off the first couple of Venom albums, but sort of with me and Dante's more modern Venom approach that we did on From the Very Depths.
On each track, there is a different atmosphere, but at the same time, everything is so cohesive. How do you work to make that it holds it together? Is it the jam session
It's
or?
a combination of quite a few different things. I would put it down to like our, the inspirations of the music we're into. The bands of the 70s and stuff like that. You've got, the old sort of classic rock bands that
myself and Rage, like, you know, the Deep Purples and Zeppelins and Rainbow. So they're like, what Kronos Love sort of was into, heavily into, like, Status Quo and things like that, and early, like, Jethro Tull. So you've got that, you know, kind of, it's different sort of different styles of music that come out on this album, much more than any of the ones we've done previous. But as you said, it all comes under that Venom umbrella. It's nothing seems out of place. You know, you've even got like an industrial bluesy sort of track with Dogs of War. Mm. You know, you've got you've got like proper fast banging tunes that like Death the Leveler and stuff like that. And even so, we're even pushing boundaries and doing a bit of prog. You know. So
I think what happened as well is because we started this album during COVID, so that meant that that myself and Kronos, because we've got our own studio where we record drums and do rehearsals and stuff, but we also had a chance to build our own home studios up a little bit better, and that meant we could sort of, me personally, I wanted to make the songs a little bit more atmospheric, so sort of trying out different like effects on guitars, like delays and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Just to try and mix it up a little bit. But the just how it works is, and this is unfortunate for all the other people, but as soon as you hear Kronos sing, it sounds like Venom. So it you've got that anchor point. There's always going to be that sort of familiarness to it, which is his voice. And then you've got me and Dante, and we've been in this band for 17 years now. Mm. So we've had a chance to grow and sort of, you know, we did the first few albums, which were brilliant. And we sort of kept to a certain degree of what Venom should be. But I think with this album, we sort of like went, well, let's just like push our musical muscles a little bit more. You know, Dante got a new drum kit, so he had new ideas. You know, his kit was bigger. We just wanted to push, you know, we're not sloppy musicians, you know, Venom's a tight band, you know, we go up there and play with a lot of other bands, and we can hold our own punch for punch with all these bands. And I think it's, we thought it was about time that we flexed our musical muscles a little bit more, put some more technical bits in. There's some different singing bits off Kronos, bits that you'll hear him sing that you've never heard him sing like that ever before. And he's pushing himself. So we all wanted to push ourselves, and we were sort of feeding off each other. Dante would play something, and you would want to play something just as good as him, and vice versa. And it's sort of, because we've been together for so long, we don't have to talk about things, and we've got so much trust and respect. We sort of know things that won't work and things that will work. And I think we just tried. I think Smoke was the big one. When we did that one from the very depths, it was a very different song, and people loved it. So we thought, do you know what? We're fearless now. We can do anything that we want, and the fans will come aboard, because there's a lot of younger fans getting into it whose first albums are the albums that me and Dante played on, you know, and then they went back and listened to the early albums. So they haven't got that sort of baggage of been in the 80s and listening to it. They're modern, and they want their band, they want their Venom to be the band that can compete just as well as some of these up and coming bands.
When you create your songs, do you still think in terms of songs or more in terms of energy or impact when you're writing the tracks today?
I think it's different. I mean, some of the songs, like Dante has just said there, Death the Leveler, Kicked Out of Hell, Lay Down Your Souls. I mean, those sort of songs write themselves. You know, they're just the classic tracks that the fans love. They're quite easy to do.
They've got like an aggression straight away, haven't they, Stu? So that a riff, let's say Rage comes in with a riff like that, like let's say Death Leveler. You know, you're not going to play like a slower drum beat to that. It's destined to be a fast track, you know, with like aggressive vocals. And so, those sort of songs do come together more quickly. And then it's the other songs that can be, you know, you can kind of come in with other ideas with and really like work. Sometimes it's some songs don't come too quickly. That you've got to really work on them and fight with them. You know, the with the lyrics, with the riffs, something might not be sitting right, but you come leave it alone and come back to it with a fresh, you know, pair of ears and stuff. And sometimes it just clicks into place, you know. But yeah, we're very happy with this album. Like, it's great.
You choose as the first single and as a video clip the track Lay Down Your Soul. May we say that it's something like a self-referential anthem? Are you consciously revisiting your own mythology with this track?
It's tongue in cheek. I mean, if the album hadn't been 8 years, we might have chosen a different song, but I think it's the perfect song, sort of just to say we're back. You know, the older fans will understand it, the newer fans will want to know what it's all about. I mean, Teacher's Pet and stuff like that, it's all, you know, tongue in cheek, and you know, we're very serious about the music, but we like to have a laugh and a little bit of, you know, a little wink and a nod. And I mean, it's got, you know, it mentions Witching Hour, Welcome to Hell and stuff like that. It's just been very, very playful, you know. It's a serious song, as in we're serious about the music of it, but it's like long-haired punks and stuff like that, you know. Sit in the house, drive your car, you know, just put it on, and you know, you don't have to think about it too much. You know, we've got songs like As Above, So Below and Unholy Mother, where the ones where you want to hear what the vocals are about and stuff like that. And, you know, oh, I wonder what that's about. But there's some songs that are just straight ahead, you know, pedal to the metal and just having a
Good
good
time, rock
time.
and roll,
And
isn't it?
that's what that song is.
It was like a healthy, sort of respectful nod to the past.
After 17 years together, what still surprise you when you work together in the studio?
Marriages don't last this long, and people come out of prison for murder, you know, for quicker than this. So we must be doing something right. I mean, what it is, I think it's down to we're really good friends. We really respect each other as people and as musicians. We work together great. You know, we get together very often because luckily we've got our own studio, as Ray says, and we all live pretty close to each other. You know, we don't live like miles and miles apart, so we can meet up each week. You know, sometimes a couple of times a week, and just discuss plans and then get together, jam and rehearse. If we've got any shows coming up, you know, choose set lists and go through things, and then obviously for recording purposes, it's perfect. So I think that's got a lot to do with it. You know, we're really good mates, but we don't live in each other's pockets. You know, but I think it's just mutual respect at the end of the day. All fighting in the right direction. You know, you're all pulling in one way. No one's, you know, there's no like sort of bad egg here that doesn't like what somebody else is doing. It's yeah, we all get on. It's great.
And I think as well, it's, you know, we don't just rest on with laurels, you know. We don't just sit there and go, right, I can play guitar, I can play drums, I can sing, I don't need to do anything else. We always trying to push things. I mean, as Dante said before, I mean, I went back to listen at the like 70s music and stuff like that, you know, melodies and stuff, just to try and you know, get inspiration. And you know, why are these songs from like 1970 still amazing now? And you know, what is it about them? And I think it's the songwriting and the, so it sounds like a band. So that there's always something to learn. And then I like, you know, we've got mutual bands that we like, but then I like death metal and stuff. So I'm intrigued how I can bring some death metal riffs into the band and make them work. And you know, Dante's always trying different drum beats and, you know, trying to push himself, you know, because he's, when he first joined the band, you know, he wasn't one of those like thrash drummers, you know, where it's digga 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 digga, stuff like that. You know, he comes from the Cozy Powell, Ian Paice sort of thing. So there's always, and you know, when you've got Cozy Powell as the influence, the things that you can do on the drums is unbelievable. And I personally think there's a lot more to come from Dante, you know, because he's always just progressing and bringing new bits in and surprising you with different beats. You've got riffs and you think, oh, are these going to work? And then he'll play something and then that'll be exciting. And then the vocals, I mean, look at Legend, that yeah. song with it, mm-hmm. with the vocals and the drums and things like that, that gets you excited again, because you thought you would never think you would write a song like that or it would work. So you do it, and then you think, right, on the next album, can we try and push that a little bit more?
It's got like that tribal feel to that one, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. We always kind of surprise ourselves just how, and we're always like, you know, complimentary as well. And if, and on flip side of the coin there as well, if there's something that, you know, one of us brings to the table and can be bettered or changed in any way, and you know, nobody kind of goes home in a huff going, they don't like my song, or you know, it's for the better of the band, it's for the better of the song, you know. And yeah, it works much better that way.
May you tell us a word about the track Kicked Out of Hell, which is really fast and really, there is a lot of energy inside. There is a guitar solo, a bass solo, really dry.
Yeah.
And the drums behind everything is yeah. really kicking. May you tell us a word about this one?
Well, the song itself, it's about being so evil that even the devil, you're more evil than the devil. The devil kicks you out of hell.
He'll not let you in, will they? Get out.
Like, you're so bad that the devil can't even stand you. That was a riff that was probably from about halfway during the recording. And then again, you finish the recording, and then, you know, we've got the opportunity to go back and listen and go, actually, I think we can do things a little bit different. And then, you know, there was a drum bit in the middle, and then we thought, well, why don't we have guitar solo, drums, and a bass solo, yeah. and just make it just so interesting? You know, you've got this very fast riff, and then all of a sudden you get this drum and bass sort of like almost Rush-like sort of thing, and the solo is a little bit different, and there's harmonies in. So we do a lot of trying to do things a little bit different. Instead of it just being a fast song all the way through, we'll try and put bits in. That's where the progression sort of comes in, and just make it a little bit more, you know, a bit more exciting for people to listen to, and just a little bit sort of different. And, you know, we could just write all these songs fast, and it would take about a month to write an album, but we try to make things a little bit interesting.
Yeah, and take our time on them as well. You know, the thing with this album as well, we had some technical issues where we were having to listen back at a couple of the songs, and we could hear this horrible sort of crackly noise, and we couldn't at first figure out what it was, but it was one of the microphones on the drum kit pointing at for the hi-hat cymbals. And we had a go at trying to fix these things, but no, there was only one thing to do, and that was just record the whole, and it was just at the point where we just finished recording all the drums. So I thought, right, that's me, you know, I've done my bit, and was happy, and you know, I was just sort of listening back, and we just heard this awful noise, and basically that was it. It was the hi-hat microphone. That channel was sort of corrupted, and we just couldn't use it. I had to go in and record it all again. At the time, it was, you know, a bit disheartening and disappointing. But now, looking back in hindsight, it gave us that time and opportunity as well to look back at the songs and revisit some of them where we could extend some and change a few of the riffs and what have you. So it actually worked out better to do that way, and I think the second time round was better takes on these songs as well, more familiar with them, and I could put more, you know, more thought into it. Yeah, so it did work out for the better, but at the time, I'm glad we can laugh about it now, because at the time it was like, no.
And the last track of the album, Unholy Mother, the beginning is really atmospheric, and it goes with a crescendo, and the end is just a hurricane. How does it happen?
It goes at the end, doesn't it? Like to that crescendo part, it does build and build. But that song actually was almost doubling length, wasn't it? Still, like
the original version was about 8 minutes.
And then we
cut it down. There's actually an extended version we're going to bring out. There's three songs: Nevermore, As Above, and Unholy Mother, which are actually longer versions. So there's actually a longer intro at the start of Unholy Mother, and then there's a 2 minute extra bit at the end with a bass guitar and drum like battle. But that's for me, that's one of the highlights for the album. It's really different. A lot of people think there's keyboards. There's no keyboards whatsoever on the album. Everything's done with real drum kit, real guitar, real bass, real vocals. If we've got choir voices, it's real people singing. And it's just, it's the perfect end. It's almost like the Ferrari version of Seven Gates of Hell. It's like that song was like a Ford Cortina, and this is the new model. We just wanted to make something at the end that was just so epic and just big and just bold. Yeah. So yeah, for me, that and As Above are the songs that I love on that album.
Yeah.
A word about the artwork, because there is of course the CD, but there is also a double vinyl smoke and double vinyl clear black and red splatter. How did you choose the artwork for this new album?
So Kronos, for years, he's been wanting to make... So Stan is the demon on the front of the black metal album. And that black metal album, it's sort of like a flag or almost like a coin. It's not a real... It's not the real person. So for years he's been trying it, and we had some artwork for Fallen Angels that was some artist had drawn like a picture of what he thought Stan was being. It was getting closer, but we decided to go for some different artwork. And then he's been working on it for years. He wants to make it sort of like almost so for Fallen Angels, that album is being kicked out of hell, heaven, from the very depths is coming up from hell. Storm of Gates is bursting into earth, and so the Into Oblivion. This is actually Stan now. This is what he looks like. This is the real person who's going to come and knock all the unbelievers into oblivion. So he's been working on it for years, but he's been trying to find textures and stuff like that. He's very big into artwork, drawn and painting, and also sort of like the digital side of things. So he's been working on it for years, and we did have a different design, but for the 8 years, it gave him a chance sort of just to finally get it. It was the eyes. It took ages to try and find the right design for the eyes. So yeah, it's sort of a harken back to the 80s. But it's sort of like he's into oblivion.
Imagine that you are invited to a birthday party. I give you 5 birthday party and you can pick one. You can go to the 13th anniversary of the movie Scream, for the 40 years of the video game Zelda, for the 50 years of the book Interview with a Vampire, or the 40 years of the animation Dragon Ball, or the 30 years of Star Trek. Which one would you choose between Scream, Zelda, Interview with a Vampire, Dragon Ball, or Star Trek?
Star Trek, so I could ask to tell all the people who had the red jerseys on that they're going to die.
I think for me, I'm going to go Star Trek because so I could have a nice like 2.5 hour sleep.
Okay.
Because I once went to see Star Trek at the pictures when I was a kid, and my mum said I just fell asleep immediately as soon as it came on. So yeah.
I'd wait till he fell asleep, and I'd put a red jersey on him.
a scream mask and wake us up.
Scream mask.
A last word you would like to tell us for your French listeners about this new album, Into Oblivion?
Yeah, it's been 8 years, but it's been 8 years worth waiting for. We hope that all our French legions take up the banner and support us on Into Oblivion. Make sure they get in touch with all their local promoters so we can come back over to France and cause some more trouble, as we usually do when we get over in France, because it's been far too long before we've breached the beaches and come and attacked France. So yeah, thank you for all the support. Thank you for the 17 years of just loving the band and being there for us and being friends to us.
Yeah, we've had some killer shows over there and we can't wait to get back over there, and hopefully it's going to be very soon. And for all you French legions, get out and buy this this amazing album that's, you know, yeah, it's been a long time coming, but it's going to be well worth the wait. So thank you very much for your patience, and hell yeah.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you very much.